It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yeah, I got to thank Raphael for this great idea. You know, at the end of every show, I always give a shout out to the family, as you can see over here, our Elite Channel members. We're actually going to tweak that starting Monday night, the 8th. Our Elite Channel members will now be known as Made Men, and our other YouTube channel members will be the family. I want to welcome to every single one of you out there for this double episode, well, maybe even a triple episode of the Sit Down with Yours Truly. I am Don Tony. It is Sunday night, May 7th, 2023. I got to be honest with you. I advertised the Sunday night show very, very early. I could not sleep yesterday until about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was really contemplating on just recording the Backlash recap early and then upload it for everyone. But I promised everyone I'd be here live at 8 o'clock, so I am here. This is the order of tonight's show. We're going to talk about Backlash briefly right at the beginning of the show, which was spectacular. Such a fun show. Goes to show you how awesome a show can even be better at when you have an amazing crowd. And that crowd was into it. It is a crowd that is starved to see WWE live and in person, let alone a premium live event / pay-per-view. This is what I said well over a week ago, that after seeing that footage in Paris, WWE, AEW, other promotions, if you can afford it. That's the magic phrase. If you can afford it, they got to tour, you know, more outside the United States. Now, you don't change everything up simply because of what you got. See, a lot of people, we were talking about it yesterday about Wembley. You know, you hear the number, you know, 400,000 to rent it out. You don't think about the thousands of people that have to work. You don't think about all the other added expenses. Not only that, when I hear people saying, oh, WWE should have booked Wembley instead of the O2, you know, understand that WWE is negotiating with venues across the United States and the world for various events at various times. It's not like they could just open their Rolodex and say, you know what, let's do it August 24th or let's do it November 16th. Wembley has a lot of shows coming up. I think Def Leppard is going to be there. And, you know, I don't know how much they're going to sell out. The point is that, you know, saying things in 320 characters sounds great and everything. When you actually dissect it, you understand that, look, should Puerto Rico get another premium live event? Yeah, if you could work it out, absolutely, sooner than later. But that just goes to show you when you don't, it's almost like a bad relationship. It's almost like a bad relationship. Or maybe if you were in the service and you didn't see your pet, you know, in person. I don't want to make everything sound bad. You know, when you miss something, absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, and even in a bad relationship, if you don't talk to that person or see that person for a very, very, very long time and you finally get the opportunity to see him again, kind of, you know, is an excitement level that is very much elevated. Look at Carlito yesterday, for example. Carlito yesterday, look at that. Guy still in shape. I mean, just hasn't really aged, matured. You hear, oh, I'm sorry, that photo's from the Royal Rumble 2 years ago. Yeah, people really didn't make that much of a buzz about Carlito 2 years ago. Now, let's also be fair. We were in the Thunderdome era. But this was last night. Spitting the apple in the face of Dominic Mysterio. That crowd fucking loved Carlito yesterday. I popped for Carlito. I think that it was a really, really cool moment, pun intended. you know, but understand, they're in Puerto Rico. These are the homeboys. These are the ones that are larger than life. You know, when we talk about Conan, you know, a lot of people don't realize that back in the day in Mexico, Conan was as big as what Hulk Hogan was in the United States. For you younger fans out there, you're listening to me say that right now and you're saying, DT, are you fucking nuts? No, there's no joke. That's not an exaggeration. You know, Carlito's pop yesterday was uber enhanced because they were in Puerto Rico. I'm not throwing shade on Carlito, but let's reel it in a little bit. Carlito, and what happened to the hiring freeze? Everybody and their mother today says, oh, WWE should really bring him in. Sign him now. Bring him in. I didn't see one person, oh, you know, Carlito, oh, that sucks, you know. You know, when he showed up at the Royal Rumble 2 years ago, Carlito did various interviews, and nobody really covered. Nobody really gave a shit about. He even revealed, I think, to Chris Van Vliet that WWE never called him after that. You know, we've seen Carlito. Carlito was involved. Wasn't he involved with GLOW? I think he was. I just remember seeing his physique. I was like, holy shit, he's jacked. I would love to see Carlito in WWE again. The problem is, what are they going to do? Put him in the LWO? Okay, that's fine. Has it sunk in that the LWO is LW0 right now? Look at the win-loss record, and please do not tell me that wins and losses don't matter in 2023. For merchandise, yes. For popularity, yes. But it gets to a point where it starts to click, and you see people on TV, and they got no shot. I'll give you a good example. Beautiful example. Tonight's format, we're going to continue talking about Backlash at the beginning of the show. Unscripted. I have the results in front of me. I took some notes yesterday, but we're going to just briefly overview everything. That'll be the first part. Then we're going to talk about the WWE World Heavyweight Championship Tournament because they did announce today the 12 participants, 6 from Raw, 6 from SmackDown. And it's a really, really good lineup. We will get into those 12 individuals. I will give you my predictions, who's going to win. I think a lot of you will say the same thing. I'll also give you some early fun predictions of what I think the Raw matches will be on Monday night and the outcomes. Then we'll finish up with a little abbreviated sit-down episode, which is Q&A. For everybody who's live and you're in the chat, you can ask some questions later. I will answer them. It could be about anything. Super chat's always welcomed, appreciated. They will get VIP, and I see the two came in already, and they both have to do a Backlash, so I will definitely answer them in a moment. But I want to say one thing about the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament, and this ties into Carlito, okay? Think about what I just said about Carlito coming back to WWE. I think it would be great to bring him back. The guy could still go. He's matured. He is very, very well liked. He is at a top level. He would definitely be good for the company. But you got to also pull back and say, okay, how far is his ceiling in WWE? Is it just a feel-good moment? Is it just talk segments where he spits apples in Baron Corbin's face and everything like that? All right, here's where that has to do with the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. L.A. Knight. L.A. Knight is not in this tournament. Am I disappointed? As a wrestling fan, yes. As someone trying to make sense of it, as far as in a business standpoint, no, I shouldn't be surprised. A lot of people are very, very angry today that LA Knight is not in the tournament. And as a wrestling fan, I don't blame you. LA Knight is very well liked. He is some people's favorites. They want to see him get opportunity. You have to, see, this is why when we do predictions sometimes, you could think like a wrestling fan, but if you're trying to win a contest, win a prize, sometimes you got to think like WWE. What would WWE do in a situation like that? And the fact is that LA Knight does not belong in this World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. Why? Because WWE creatively decided to put LA Knight on an extended losing streak slash get my ass handed to me and get bitched out multiple times streak. And that was done strategically because it's almost like, I know we talked about relationships earlier. It's almost like blue balls. You know, sometimes somebody will tease you and tease you and tease you and tease you. The more they tease you, the more you want it. You could have the crappiest, plainest biscuit in your hands and you show it to your dog and your dog goes to eat it and you pull it away. And the dog's like, meow. And you take the biscuit again and you put it in front of his face and he's like, nah, I ain't falling for this. And he tries it again and you pull it away. At some point, the dogs would be like, motherfucker, give me that biscuit. I'll bite you in the face. But you keep pulling it away and teasing it and teasing it. You know, that dog's going to want that biscuit more and more and more. And then you finally give the dog the biscuit, and he's so wired, like, finally, Ellie, you're not going to put it. What am I eating this for? It's not good. LA Knight has not won enough to be worthy to be in a championship tournament. That's not a diss on LA Knight. LA Knight's going to hold gold in WWE. Just right now, LA Knight, you look at it just like Legado del Fantasma. With all due respect, should they be competing for championships right now? I saw people last night, put the tag team titles on them, put the tag team. I'm like, they're Owens, they're perfect. They're Owen everything since they formed, with the exception of Zelina Vega and Rey Mysterio. So LA Knight right now has no business being in this tournament because WWE creatively put him in that position. Now, as I said 2 weeks ago, better nights ahead. You know, when I do those catchy lines on the shows for the titles, I don't do that to try to clickbait people in because that's true. When we 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago said Raw and SmackDown championship tournaments coming right after the draft, I didn't do it to clickbait or draw. I did it because it's true. And the thing with LA Knight is, you know, better nights ahead, WWE was done. As of now, the deep push of LA Knight is completed. Now they did the draft. Now he is going to work his way up slowly. Maybe go after Austin Theory. Maybe go after somebody on the mid-card. But 9 months from now, 10 months from now, when we get to WrestleMania again, you know, when you see a year ago, look at Austin Theory. Austin Theory, when he had that briefcase, how many times did I bring up that his record was the same as Carmella's? Carmella, when she had the briefcase, her record was like 3 wins and 23 losses. Austin Theory's record was 2 wins and 23 losses. And every person and their mother was like, oh, he was Vince's guy. She's not Triple H's guy. And Triple H, you know, he realized that, you know, he's not the guy and they're burying him and it's just a matter of time and they sent him back to NXT. And then when he lost the briefcase, people were up in arms like, oh, how the fuck could they do that? That's awful. What a ridiculous way. And I went on my show that night and I said, that's the best thing they could have done to Austin Theory. Now you will see Austin Theory rise. Am I exaggerating at all? Look at how high his ceiling has gotten in the WWE. Could you imagine 9 months from now where he's at? So LA Knight has no business being in the tournament right now. But down the line, he'll get his due. He'll get his due. Now, I really appreciate this question that came in because this was a hot topic last night. And again, in my opinion, there's two answers to this. Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. We kind of had a feeling that it was not closing out Backlash last night because WWE started advertising the show as double main event, double main event, double main event. So, you know, they never threw that to Cody and Brock Lesnar because it was just assumed that it was the main event. But once they started saying double main event and they had Bad Bunny and Damian Priest and Cody and Brock Lesnar next to each other, you had an idea that for everybody who from Puerto Rico and those that are into Bad Bunny, you know, they want to inflate that match's worth even more by calling it double main event. Now, I want to thank Ronnie C. for this 10 spot. Thank you for the $10 super chat, Ronnie C. He says, should Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest closed Backlash, or would I have kept it Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes? And I'm going to give you two answers, everyone. As a wrestling fan, we had no idea how good Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest would have been. There's always risk when you're doing someone that may not, you know, be, you know, equipped to deal with adversity. Listen, Bad Bunny, man's got all my fucking respect. In fact, I think next year they should consider Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania. And I'm not even kidding when I say that. But Bad Bunny, just the stamina from yesterday, that in itself I was impressed about. But you don't know how the match is going to turn out. Look at Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. After that WrestleMania main event happened, a lot of people felt that that shouldn't have closed out WrestleMania. And the reason why they said that is because of the way the match came out and what happened with Ronda Rousey. And unfortunately, there was adversity, and it kind of affected the show. There's never been any storyline addressing of Ronda's shoulders being up or whatever it was at the time. So there's a lot of unknowns as far as Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. That match yesterday, street fight. Remember, this is not a regular wrestling match. When people say, oh, Bad Bunny versus Roman Reigns, yeah, it probably would work. Just like Logan Paul and Roman Reigns. And I remember how many people were shitting on Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia, and it ended up being fucking great. But the thing is that this is a street fight. So pretty much you can improvise. You see a weapon, you get a little brain fart, just use the weapon and wail somebody with it. It's easier said than done. But just because the match ended up being as fun as it was last night, as a wrestling fan, in hindsight, I would have loved to seen that match close out the Backlash last night. Absolutely worthy of closing Backlash last night. If it was a WWE house show in Puerto Rico, that match absolutely would have closed out last night. But you got to, but now we got to think in WWE's sense. Going forward, is Bad Bunny going to be on TV on a regular basis? No. Cody Rhodes is. Brock Lesnar, he'll remain in the storylines. So in the bigger picture, in Saudi Arabia in 3 weeks, and further down the line with SummerSlam and everything else, you have to close out your premium live event with the storylines that continue. The Usos, Solo Sikoa, Owen, Zayn, Riddle. By the way, anybody that tunes in to these shows, especially on Saturdays for the Don Tony Show, you hear my frustration every other week. Every other week. How many times, if I'm not joking, if I had a dollar every time we brought it up, I might be able to go to Wembley for All In. How many times have we brought up one of the dumbest things that Triple H is obsessed with creative? The dumb, brain-dead baby faces. How many, it's got to be at least 30. How many times since Triple H took over creative have we seen a match that a blind tag is made and the baby face doesn't see the blind tag, baby face does said move on the wrong person, and here comes the legal person into the match, hits their finisher, gets the win. We talked about it Saturday. Saturday, we said, they just did it again. And they did it last night with fucking Riddle. Riddle doesn't see the tag. Riddle, I think, to Jimmy Uso, hits the bro Derek, and here comes... come on, man. Every fucking week or every 2 weeks, we've brought it up at least 30 times, and they did it last night again. And props to all of you out there. Gruss says it's a dusty finish. Oh, that makes it better. Okay. Do it 30 times since August. That makes it better. The baby faces are brain dead. The baby faces are like, I can't use that word. It's a dusty finish. I guarantee, listen, we're in 2023. Just because 2023, just because Harry Pussy was in the 70s doesn't mean that you want to watch adult films and OnlyFans and see loads of Harry Bush. You know, Dusty used to. What's that mean? It's not who does it, it's how you do it. And this is lazy on Triple H's part. It's like, okay, how do we do the finish? Oh, all right, you know, the blind tag, didn't see the tag. You know, hits the move, everybody pops, and here comes the heel and steals the victory. And once again, we got a mentally deficient babyface that doesn't see the blind tag. Suddenly they're blind. Doesn't make it better. It's how you do it. And it's lazy. They fall back on it over and over and over again. That sucked yesterday. And by the way, thank you everyone for all the kind words. Some of the outcomes from Seth Rollins with multiple curb stomps, and though we didn't think he was going to do one off the top rope, that was awesome. By the way, I know I don't like the phrase, but since it's such a popular, and we'll get, I'll finish up Ronnie's comment in a second. I know it's a popular phrase and I hate it, but I got to say it. Fuck you to everybody out there that dissed the shit out of Omos once again. Omos deserves his flowers. When are these people going to fucking start giving in a little bit and saying, you know what? He's not that bad. He's getting better. That motherfucker was so animated. You know what got me angry yesterday? Seth Rollins carried him to the best match of his career. Seth Rollins could hit all his moves and Omos, you know, it's like Dancing with the Stars. It's like Dancing with the Stars. When the two dancers are dancing and they're doing all these things in sync, it's not like, oh, the dancer carried blah, 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 blah to victory. No, the motherfucker trained hard. They're in sync. They're doing everything perfect. Trust me. You know, Omos has been working his ass off and people were crucified. I admitted I didn't want to see that match with him and Seth Rollins, but people were hoping that match would have sucked yesterday. So they could say, you see, WWE, what the fuck are you doing with Seth Rollins? Why are you wasting him on Omos? And people ate their words yesterday. And instead of just giving a guy a little respect, giving him his flowers, and just saying, you know what, motherfucker is definitely improved. No, it's Seth Rollins carried Omos to the best match of his career. Man, you disrespectful people out there. Seriously, you can't just put your tail between your legs and say, you know what? He had a pretty damn good match against Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia. You know what? For the length that it was, you know, he went toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar. And now he's had a great fucking match with Seth Rollins and still can't get the respect. Good thing is that the people that matter, the people within the company, are noticing what's going on. And plus, Seth Rollins wanted to work with the guy. So let's give Omos credit. That was a great, great, great match yesterday. And how animated he is with the fans now. Oh, man, he is so comfortable. I know Omos will never see this, but Omos is quickly becoming one of my favorites. And I'm not even saying that to be funny. Omos is quickly becoming one of my favorites that I'm rooting for. Absolutely. Now, getting back to Ronnie's question. Should Damian Priest and Bad Bunny close that backlash? As a wrestling fan, I would have loved it. As far as WWE continuing storylines, no. Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes needs to go off the air. He's got to finish the story, the chase. A lot of fake news once again blew it. They were so convinced that Cody was going to be pulled out on a stretcher, so they can justify why he is not at Night of Champions fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship. And they predicted stretcher, this, blah, blah, blah. And even the blood part of it. Brock Lesnar did not blade yesterday. Brock Lesnar actually juiced Hardway. But people were predicting, and not only predicting, reporting it as news. My sources tell me. I got one of them for you. Here. For people that don't know, here is the original source that started it all. WrestleMania, Anybody ever see that YouTube channel? That should have told you right then and there not to believe what these people are writing. Look at how many views that got. 320,000. 320,000. I see Cody Rhodes being squashed by Brock Lesnar and stretch it out. So what happens? These jerk-offs, zero news. Oh, ambulance, stretcher, and blood due for the match. Cody is due to be written off, I'm hearing. We'll be about 15 minutes. Cody gets destroyed, I'm hearing. You heard wrong. You continue to hear wrong. These people just write this stuff just for views, just for hits. The best one that I found yesterday was this. Friends, chat room, people watching on the replay, look at the chat room. I'm going to ask a question right now. What time Eastern did WWE Backlash's pre-show start yesterday? What time does the pre-show always start on Peacock? Friends, what time does the pre-show, not Backlash, the pre-show. What? Okay, LeDude says 7 p.m. Christopher Segovia says 7 p.m. Mark, Bash, everybody's saying so. Well, he says 4 because he's in Pacific. All right? All right, just to get hits and views. These are journalists with blue check marks. Who has this on their screen right now? Coverage will begin shortly. Look at the time of the post. Not even 7 p.m. yet. And they think that there was no glitch, but this is what they do to get any attention on them whatsoever. And the sorry thing about it is there was a lot of fucking brain dead people on life support. They was like, yeah, man, I'm getting the same fucking thing. What the hell's going on here? Yo, Peacock, what the fuck? This is what I always bitch about. That's what I always bitch about. But as a wrestling fan, yes, I would have loved to have seen it go off the air. Logic-wise, no. Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes needs to go off the air. Now, I love the people out there that because Cody rolled up Brock Lesnar, oh, that's not a cowboy. That's a coward. Rolling up Brock Lesnar. If you are in the fucking ring with Brock Lesnar, you know, I think people forgot that before the bell rang, Cody hit him with like 7 chair shots. Cody hit him with the ring steps 3 times. Cody did a lot of damage to Brock Lesnar. But at the end of the day, in order to finish the story, you got to get a win. You got to win any way possible. What did they want? Did they want Brock Lesnar crucified on a cross? Like, Brock Lesnar had the Kimura, had the armbar locked in on Cody Rhodes. And Cody Rhodes, anybody in storyline, anybody would have been submitting to that. How many storyline segments have we seen Brock Lesnar break somebody's arm with that move? So he puts the locks, the Kimura lock on Cody Rhodes. And at that very moment, he is writhing in pain. Nowhere to go. Plus, Brock is bloodied, looks like a fucking serial killer. And so Cody rolls him up and gets the win and escapes out of that ring. What is he supposed to do? Take a flaming table spot, crucify his body, get destroyed for our enjoyment? No. Anybody in that situation would do that. This guy's got the Kimura lock locked on me. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Holy shit, how do I get out of it? Hey, I know what to do. Let me just, you know, there it is. There's the move. There's the spot. There's the move. What are you supposed to do? Oh, Cody's a coward. Cowards don't do that. These people are wild, man. It was smart by Cody Rhodes. Now, Brock Lesnar is probably not thrilled. When we get to the World Heavyweight Championship tournament a little bit later, will Brock Lesnar be a factor in it? He doesn't have a match, but will he be a factor? We will talk about that in a little bit. So I am 100% fine with Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar closing out Backlash. No argument whatsoever. And let me say one last thing. Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday. Hell in a Cell. Mick Foley, Mankind, versus The Undertaker. That was King of the Ring, 1998. Should that have closed King of the Ring? Do you remember people had, oh, it should have closed King of the Ring? No, nobody said, oh, it should have closed because of the way it happened. No, and not even the King of the Ring final closed that night. Do you know it closed that night? Kane versus Steve Austin, first blood. And if Kane lost, I think he had to set himself on fire. And that match, honestly, was very, very bland. The finish where Steve Austin, I don't remember it clearly. I haven't seen it in years. All I remember is that with Steve Austin, like, saw your blood or something. And I was like, wow, that kind of was, like, uneventful. But at the time, it made sense because of the story. So, you know, just because a match ends up, did people back in the day for WrestleMania 3, even though Savage Steamboat was one, it was 10 times better than Hogan Andre, you know, people years later, oh, that should have closed. I mean, 99% of the people realize why Hogan Andre closed. It's not always what match, you know, really, really got you into the show. What was your favorite? For Puerto Rico, as a house show, as a wrestling fan, Bad Bunny and Damian Priest going off the air, totally fine with it. But as far as continuing storylines, no, it should not have gone off the air. So, Chris Cutra. Thank you, Chris, for the 1999. Much appreciated, Chris. Thank you. Incredible show last night. I think it's time everyone stops the collective groan when Omos faces big stars. His matches are fun and come off special. I do think he needs to get some big wins, though. Absolutely. But again, you almost could see this with LA Knight. You know, WWE has done this many times in the past, that somebody, you know, to get them over, they lose, but they put in a hard effort. Look at Io Sky. Jesus. Holy shit. That crowd last night was so behind Io Sky. And she has lost and lost and lost more than she has won since being with Damage Control. But people noticed how hard she is working. And yes, the storyline of Bayley turning on Io Sky and Dakota Kai as well. Bayley and Dakota Kai will continue on as a tag team, but people recognize it. Omos will start getting wins. I personally, I'm sticking with what I said a couple of weeks ago. I think Omos is turning babyface. You look at the big men, you know, we've seen him with Braun, but we haven't seen him with Bronson Reed. We haven't seen him with a Viking Raider. There's some big men that Omos could go up against. Why do you think Omos is a free agent right now? So they could feature Omos on SmackDown when they want to showcase him and when they start giving him a push. They want to put him on Raw. They could put him on Raw to give him a match and maybe give him something. I think Omos is turning babyface. And honestly, I wouldn't change his attitude at all. He is so animated. I don't think you should change him yet because he looks like he's having a good time out there. I mean, yesterday with Seth Rollins, he was having fun and you could see he was relaxed. And I think that's one of the things. When you look at early Omos, especially when he was with AJ Styles, one thing we noticed about Omos is that he was very stiff. When he moved around, he was very stiff, almost like you thought he had a back problem. Like he was not very flexible moving around. That motherfucker yesterday, you know, did a back body drop while he was on his knees. That guy was taking moves from Seth Rollins and moving around like not someone who's 7 feet plus. So last night, Omos, I felt so good. I mean, it was so hard to, like, who do I feel better more for, Zelina Vega or Omos yesterday? That's how much I appreciated Omos last night. But again, you know, people immediately think that Seth Rollins, like, was balking at the idea of facing Omos. You know, why assume that? Yes, it's not a match I wanted to see. But I also recognize what Omos has been doing. And he's getting good. And because people want to shit on him, there's always an excuse why things end up the way they are. And I agree with you 100%. People got to start recognizing that Omos, I think, has turned the corner. And I think he's doing great. Should he get any titles soon? No, I don't think so. But Omos is doing great. I don't think there's any. Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins. I mean, those are three legitimate guys that if you can hang with them, those are tests. Those are tests. And honestly, all three, he's passed the test. So, Mike from New York, thank you for the two spot, my friend. He said it was an awesome pay-per-view last night. Best premium live event this year. I tell you, you look back at WrestleMania, this was a better, and WrestleMania crowd was hot. But last night, you know what was great about last night? A couple of things. Number one, WWE has done this much better lately. They recognize who their crowd is in attendance. They recognize that if they're going into a certain area, that you utilize, you better, see, because, listen, under Vince McMahon, if WWE went to Puerto Rico, we might have had the same type of card that you would have had in Texas, Arizona, New York, California, wherever. But yesterday, they showed that somebody could talk Spanish. And you don't have to worry about Vince, like, almost everybody in the WWE universe doesn't talk Spanish. We can't have that. No, we could Google it. We could go on Twitter. We could find out, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? Big deal. You know, they recognize who their audience is yesterday, the culture, the atmosphere. That's why you had Puerto Rican stars like Carlito. And my God, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was really, really, really cool to see Savio Vega yesterday. Savio Vega giving Bad Bunny a Singapore cane with the Puerto Rican colors, the flag, and the crowd goes nuts for it. Savio Vega is a legend in Puerto Rico. He's a legend in the United States, but in Puerto Rico, he is royalty. Savio Vega is royalty. So later on in the night, Chicken Shit Dominic Mysterio and Finn Balor get involved in a match, which we knew was going to happen. And what happens? Here comes Savio Vega. And the crowd goes nuts. WWE knows their core audience for that particular event. You bring out, with all due respect, you bring out, you know, somebody else. I tell you, it was, were my ears deceiving me yesterday, or did we get a loud Chavo chant? I honestly thought I heard a Chavo chant before Savio's music hit. I thought maybe because of Dominic and Ray, maybe they thought Chavo Guerrero was going to come out. No, I remember what it was. I think the fans were chanting Chavo, and then the LWO's music hit, and Legado came out. But yesterday, having these two guys that in 2023, especially Savio, his value in wrestling, in the, especially in the, across the board in the world, is this big. But that crowd ate it up yesterday. And believe me, when you have AEW go to Wembley, you got to give them a UK surprise. If you're smart, listen, those rejects, Zero News, let me give you a good example of how they do their sausage. Back in March, just so you know, back in March when Backlash was announced for Puerto Rico, they went on social media and said that WWE is going to surprise us with a local star from Puerto Rico. Never put any names. What they guessed was, since they were in Puerto Rico, that WWE would feature somebody from Puerto Rico because the local crowd would pop. That's not exclusive backstage news. That's a guess. That's assumption. So you go to Saudi Arabia. You know, unfortunately, let's be honest, we don't have any household names that are in Saudi Arabia that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, you go, but if you go to Japan, you might see a local surprise from Japan. You might see Moody. You might see someone else. If you go to Mexico, you might see a local surprise. You might see Kona. You might see somebody else. You go to another country. So you know your audience. You go into the UK, got to surprise us with somebody from the UK. Go to Japan, you got to surprise us with Japan. Jamie Hayter and Saraya is not surprises, but that would be an awesome match. And listen, I don't want to jump ahead, but on Monday, I'm going to read you the statement that Zelina Vega made. And I'm going to read it word for word. It's not long, but when you read it, you understand why. When you have a memory in wrestling, whether you go to a WrestleMania or you go to a convention and you meet your heroes you grew up watching, or if you're a wrestler and you go to compete in Wembley, that is something that lasts with you for a lifetime. Nobody could take that away from you. And as much as I want to criticize, you know, some of Tony Khan's behavior, or I will never ever criticize the wrestlers or the fact that 70,000 fans plus likely are going to go to Wembley. I'm not going to rip that. I'm not going to rip the wrestlers or any of it, because at the end of the day, every wrestler that is part of that, that's going to stay with them for the rest of their life. Every fan that goes to that is going to stay with them for the rest of their life. Everybody who was in that building yesterday for her backlash, that is going to be a memory. It's going to stick with them for the rest of their life. Bad Bunny, as much of a trillionaire that guy is and sells billions of records, you know, last night is a memory that's going to stay with him for the rest of his life. Damian Priest, 20 years from now, when he's doing interviews reflecting on his career, Bad Bunny with him yesterday is going to be something that's going to stick with him for the rest of his life. Dominic Mysterio, you know, just in the buildings, you know, every local town getting the heat that he's getting, that's going to stay with him for the rest of his life. So when you see, like last night with Zelina Vega, and she has her match, everybody and their mother knew that she was going to lose. And yes, there were some people out there that are like, oh my God, you know, WWE should do an audible and give the win to Zelina Vega. You know, why? Because it feels good? No, you have to look at the bigger picture as far as Rhea Ripley goes. But looking at Zelina Vega and just seeing this crowd yesterday, just look at her reaction. That stays with her for the rest of her life. That stays with her for the rest of her life. That's a beautiful thing, man. So you see moments like that. That's something that Triple H has done great with that Vince McMahon wouldn't focus on as much. Vince McMahon likely, what that would have happened was they would have cued Samantha Irvin after maybe like 10 seconds. All right, introduce. Cut it off sooner. You know, at the end of the match, all right, you know, cue up LWO's music. You know, not let her stand in the ring for 3 minutes and let it soak in. So you could see definitely moments. You can talk Spanish. You can be a little bit more regionalized. You're in Puerto Rico. Celebrate the culture. I'm an Italian from Queens, New York. You know, like, I don't understand what they're saying. I had to look up when the crowd was chanting to Dominic Mysterio at the press conference that he's a dick sniffer. I mean, like, look it up. You know, it's not a big deal in 2023. Having the real emotions is what attracts you. Zelina Vega, greatest moment of her wrestling career. She pays tribute to her family and everything, and she lost. She didn't lose. She didn't lose. That's an amazing moment. And that's what this is all about. That's why when you see people out there complaining and criticizing, I know, you know, I'm a little bit too positive many times, but that's what it's about, man. You know, you feel that coming through your TV. That's what why so many people freaking loved it last night, and that crowd made it 10 times better. Now, it was kind of funny that, you know, I was when I took down my notes for Zelina Vega versus Rhea Ripley, I called it, what did I call it? The Real Housewives, hold on, The Real Housewives of the House of Black. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, two significant others from members of the House of Black were battling it out. Malakai Black with Zelina Vega and Buddy Matthews with Rhea Ripley. This was The Real Housewives of the House of Black battling out last night. I thought it was great, man. You know why also people are like, some of you were said tonight, why they loved it so much yesterday? Because it was 3 hours. Very manageable 3 hours. You don't have to give 15 matches. You don't have to give 6 hours of it. Give fans quality instead of quantity and time. And man, you know, that crowd was good and energetic from the beginning to the end. And let's go over some quick match results. Yeah, I'm going to talk about the We Want Roman chants. I mean, why wouldn't fans want Roman? But we're going to get into some quick match results now. So let's run down Backlash very quickly. The opening match last night, Bianca Belair, she now makes history. We talked about it on Saturday's show, something that I didn't even pay attention to, and now Bianca Belair can reset back to zero. I know there's a lot of people that are angry. So now as SmackDown Women's Champion, her reign as of Friday will be 4 days. But it doesn't matter, because now for the modern era, she is the longest reigning women's champion. Now, modern era can be interpreted a couple of different ways. And I honestly think it may turn into a storyline. I didn't see one part. I searched. I typed in her name last night to see if anybody picked up on it. I didn't see anybody. I have a feeling Trish Stratus, because the road to her to Becky Lynch is not direct. Trish Stratus may end up getting into it with Bianca Belair a little bit, because the modern era, you might think immediately, oh, we're talking about Fabulous Moolah here. No. The modern era, technically, who held it longer than Bianca Belair? Trish Stratus. Trish Stratus held that championship for about, I think it was 440 days, give or take a few, but she was injured for about 4 months. So she could come out in storyline and confront Bianca Belair. The problem is, and I don't know how they're going to do it unless maybe Saudi Arabia, is that Trish Stratus is now a Raw star. Bianca Belair is now a SmackDown star. So Trish may still say it in a promo on TV, but may not necessarily have the confrontation with Bianca Belair. Trish should come out there on TV and cut a promo in the very near future and say Bianca Belair could call herself the longest reigning women's champion in the modern era, but I am still here. The modern era, I am in the modern era, and I still hold. So they could do that. But Bianca Belair technically now holds some history. So even though they reset that championship back to zero for Bianca, she still holds history. She beat Io Sky yesterday. And Io Sky, 90% of that building was rooting for Io Sky. It's not that Bianca's held it for so long. It's that Io Sky was the underdog. Io Sky, people have taken notice in storyline that Bayley has been slighting her. We know that Io Sky is going to be turning babyface. We know that Bayley has been causing her some defeats. And Io Sky is fucking awesome. So the crowd was heavily, heavily behind Io Sky last night. But once that match was over, that crowd gave their appreciation and respect to Bianca Belair. You know, it's not like, oh, Bianca Belair, she's starting to turn into John Cena and this and that. And maybe I could understand why some people feel that way. But no, Bianca Belair has definitely worked her ass off. She shows it off in the ring. Extremely agile, extremely talented, extremely powerful. Although that one-arm press slam yesterday was scary. It was scary. When she did it, her adrenaline was, she was like this. And it wasn't like a dance where she's like, no, she was like so pumped up that, holy shit, I'm doing it. Problem is that, unfortunately, you know, physics does dominate, and Io Sky almost face planted herself. That shit was scary, man. That shit was scary. But the crowd, almost unanimously behind Io Sky yesterday. Early on in the match, the story was Io working on Bianca Belair's left arm. You take away the strength, you take away a lot of Bianca Belair, the KOD and everything else. And it was all Io Sky early on, and we had a lot of near falls. And, you know, at some points, people really thought that Io Sky was getting the win. You know, Io Sky get the win, and then she'll get moved to Raw, and she'll be reigning Raw's women's champion, which would have put things a little confusing because Rhea Ripley's staying on Raw no matter what. And I don't think there was any chance Zelina Vega was winning last night. But unfortunately, damage control, Bayley more specific, causes the loss. This is how they've been doing it lately. This is how they will continue doing it leading into SmackDown. Dakota Kai not necessarily causing her losses. It's mostly Bayley. And that's going to put Dakota Kai in a position that she doesn't know which side to choose. But I think in the end, Dakota Kai will take the side of Bayley, and Dakota Kai will remain a heel. But last night, Damage Control comes out there. Dakota Kai nails a kick to Bianca's head with the referee distracted. Definitely helped. Io Sky saw the kick. You know, everything was great. But then Bayley grabbed the hair of Bianca Belair. Io Sky climbed the top rope to try to land the moonsault. The referee sees Bayley grabbing the hair. Now, in storyline, why didn't Io Sky still hit the moonsault? You know, but she paused and she was like, you know, like, what are you doing? And the referee catches Bayley. So that just gives Io Sky enough of a pause that when she goes for the moonsault, here comes Bianca moving out of her way. So Io Sky goes for the moonsault, no water in the pool. Bianca Belair with the KOD gets the win. And then, you know, Bayley outside the ring with Dakota Kai, they, you know, they look dejected for Io Sky. Io Sky also looks dejected. But again, this is going to lead into the fact that they lost. Now it makes you wonder if Bayley and Dakota Kai could possibly win those tag titles. Because they win, Io Sky loses. We're winners. You're not. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to happen Friday, but something's going to go down Friday, I think, with them. All right. So Bianca Belair remains your women's champion, and she will now go to SmackDown and start over as your champion. Omos, last night, great effort, as we said earlier, in a losing effort to Seth Rollins. Early on, Omos with the cheap shots to Rollins from behind, a crowd serenading Rollins. He nails him from behind. Shoulder tackle splash. Omos really animated with the fans. That is one of the biggest things that I see with Omos now. He's loosey-goosey. He's getting into it with the fans. He's smiling from ear to ear. You could tell he's having fun, man, and he's putting it together. Tries to slam Rollins, but he pushes Omos in the corner post. Every time, early in the match, every time Seth Rollins was trying to get some offense, Omos would have a counter. Beautiful press slam over the top rope to outside the ring. As I said earlier, Omos with a back body drop from his freaking knees, which I'm sure I've seen that before, but it just looked really, really impressive last night. But unfortunately, Omos would create his own demise. You know, Omos misses the corner splash. Seth Rollins with a tornado DDT. Again, when I said earlier about Omos taking moves, Omos took a tornado DDT. Let that sink in for a minute when you think about the guy's size. Rollins tries a frog splash just for a one count. But then later on in the match, MVP tries to distract the referee. Seth Rollins hits MVP with a super kick, nails a curb stomp to Omos, hits a second curb stomp. Omos not only does not lose, but when Rollins went to deliver the curb stomp, Omos's head never moved. His neck was in storyline, and I'm sure it's for real as well. His neck is so strong. Like when someone, I got to take my glasses off this, when someone curb stomps, when Seth Rollins curb stomps someone, their head bounces and supposed to hit the mat. Yesterday, when Seth Rollins tried to hit a curb stomp on Omos, instead of his head going like this, and yeah, Rollins ultimately would do it off the top rope, hit a beautiful looking curb stomp and gets the win. But one of those curb stomps, instead of Omos going down, Rollins hits him and Omos goes like this. Doesn't move. First time you ever saw that. They really made Omos look strong yesterday. Did a great fucking job. Great job. And even though Omos lost yesterday, you know, I'm telling you, you know, people got to start giving Omos a little bit more respect. Seth Rollins wins, goes into the World Heavyweight Championship tournament on a roll, and we'll see how that continues on Monday. Next match, and look, this match went down exactly how we talked about it the other day. Bronson Reed shows off his strength. Bobby Lashley showing off his strength. Austin Theory teasing a little bit of this strength like John Cena used to do. Picks up Bronson Reed, is about to hit him with A-Town, but a little bit too heavy for Austin Theory. Trust me, I know most of you out there don't picture Austin Theory as a babyface, but at some point he will be, and he will pick up Bronson Reed. It will happen. But the finish yesterday was exactly how we called it the other day. Bronson Reed, you know, showing his power. We said it on the predictions. There's no way that Austin Theory was going to just be able to throw Bronson Reed outside the ring. So we said that Bobby Lashley will hit the spear on Bronson Reed. And right when Bobby Lashley's about to pin Bronson Reed, Austin Theory shows up, throws Bobby Lashley out of the ring, screws Bobby Lashley out of the win, and steals the victory. Hook, line, exactly the way that went down yesterday. Screws Bobby Lashley, gives a reason to possibly continue Bobby Lashley versus Austin Theory. That crowd yesterday, they got behind Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed first came out, got virtually no reaction whatsoever. During the match, Bronson Reed, there was one point where Bobby Lashley was outside the ring. I don't even take notes with this. Just remember it. Flashes before my eyes. Bronson Reed climbs the middle rope outside the ring. So he's outside the on the apron, climbs the middle rope, and jumps off and falls backwards onto Bobby Lashley's shoulder. And the crowd was giving him holy shit chants. I think the crowd was even chanting, El Gordito, El Gordito. You know, so they were really showing some props to Bronson Reed yesterday. So it was a fun little match. I mean, the outcome was very predictable. Austin Theory now on SmackDown. Since Bronson Reed's on Raw, he had no shot of winning. It was just really Bobby Lashley was the wild card. But in the end, Austin Theory retains, and he goes into SmackDown as the champion. Zelina Vega, as we talked about early on, she, in a good effort, loses to Rhea Ripley. The Real Housewives of the House of Black. This match was about emotion. I showed you earlier, Zelina Vega crying. Her family at ringside crying. Puerto Rico totally behind her. I saw some wise asses online. Oh, she's from Queens, New York. Yeah, she's about 10 minutes away, her family. You know, she's where I live. She's from Queens, but, you know, she's Puerto Rican. And she ate it up yesterday. When I read her comments tomorrow, it's beautiful. But the match went down pretty much how we expected it to be. If you remember, we compared it a little bit to Rhea versus Akira Tozawa. I mean, the only difference was, as we said in the predictions, that Tozawa, you know, would basically cause Rhea Ripley to screw up a little bit. But with Zelina Vega, she was going to hit the Meteor, which she did. She hit a Tornado DDT, which she did. Unfortunately, though, in the end, you know, she would, you know, miss a spot. Rhea Ripley with the Riptide, 1, 2, 3. Match went 7 minutes, but, you know, there was a decent amount of time that the crowd was soaking it in. One fun moment, Zelina Vega's mom gives her like a flip-flop and, you know, like throws it at Rhea Ripley, like chucks it at her. That is something like, I think, in the Puerto Rican tradition. You know, you know what I immediately thought last night? Do you remember in 2000 and, was it 2002 or 2004? I think it was 2002 when President George Bush, I think, what was he, in Iraq, or he was somewhere and somebody threw a shoe at him or something, and apparently that's a tradition, you know, when you throw a shoe at someone. Unfortunately, you don't throw it to a president. I mean, the guy got into a lot of trouble with it. But that crowd made everything yesterday, and you could feel the emotion. You rooted for Zelina. You knew the outcome. You still rooted for Zelina. And that match, yeah, good point, Roderick Howard. Damian Priest from New York City. But he grew up in that area. There's a little bit of a difference there. You know, I'm not saying that Zelina Vega didn't have family in Puerto Rico. Not saying that at all. Look at me. I have family in Italy. You know, I mean, obviously I'm never going to be able to compete in Italy, but, you know, there is a home connection. It's not just, oh, I'm Puerto Rican, so therefore I'm over in Puerto Rico. It was a little deeper than that. Eric Williams with the $4.99. Thank you very much, Eric. Hope you're doing well. Much love, Eric. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Much love. So is Zelina Vega. You know, valiant effort, unfortunately, comes out on the losing side, but, you know, this is a moment that, you know, it's going to last with her forever. And that was pretty awesome. And you know what? She won over even more WWE fans, not just Puerto Rican fans yesterday. You know, the way she took it in, the way they showed the love for her, the way the love was given to her online. So her appreciation, that level has gone up tenfold since yesterday. And she did good. Under the circumstances, she did good. Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Yeah, every single person is on their feet. Honestly, you look at it closely, other than maybe like a couple like 80-year-olds that probably couldn't stand up, I mean, every single person was off their feet yesterday. This was another picture that I thought was awesome. You know, you see Legato in the ring, Rey Mysterio, Carlito, Savio Vega holding up Bad Bunny in victory. You know, it was a hot mess, but it was fun. And it did, listen, Bad Bunny and Damian Priest went at it one-on-one for probably about 6-7 minutes with no interference whatsoever. And that's the thing that stuck out to me more than anything yesterday. I mean, don't get me wrong. Damian Priest in a losing effort yesterday, his stock went up. Damian Priest is going to be a main eventer. I know he was a main eventer yesterday, but Damian Priest, I think he's world championship material within the next year or two. I think Damian Priest at some point has got to win the World Heavyweight Championship. Not now. Not now. There's too many people that are above him. But that guy showed yesterday that when everybody, and I'm sorry for saying this again, when everybody complained about Bobby Lashley not getting a WrestleMania match, I thought Damian Priest not getting a WrestleMania match was just as bad. That guy yesterday, you know, not only, you know, just showed that he belongs, but everything, listen, the one thing that I kept seeing people say over and over again, and we talked about it with predictions last week, was that, you know, I even think Jim Cornette said it, that it was a hard sell to see Bad Bunny giving these shots to Damian Priest, and how is Damian Priest taking these shots from this almost like little guy? I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but that was the overall consensus. You started looking closer, like, you know what, Bad Bunny's not as short as people think. It's just that Bad Bunny is not, like, jacked like Austin Theory jacked or Carlito jacked, but he's in great shape. And Carlito, believe it or not, Bad Bunny's probably the size of some of your fathers out there. He's probably a little bit bigger than the size of my father. And if any of you ever see me standing next to my dad's not a small guy. It's just that Bad Bunny is not, you know, shirtless, wearing wrestling garb. You see him wearing a jacket, you know, wearing a t-shirt, wearing a button-down shirt, and he looks like somebody in the audience. Bad Bunny is bigger than you think, and I'm talking about physical size. But Damian Priest wearing the same outfit that he did 2 years ago when he teamed with Bad Bunny at WrestleMania 37. Early on in the match, Bad Bunny getting teased by Damian Priest. Damian Priest not taking him seriously. Every time Bad Bunny would get a little bit of offense, Damian Priest would have a comeback for it. And we get a whole bunch. Listen, the shopping cart at ringside was cute because basically you could see what they told Bad Bunny and Damian Priest pretty much was, what you see in the shopping cart, that's what you use. And everything was being taken from the shopping cart, from the shopping cart, from the shopping cart. So you knew they were going to use Singapore canes. They were going to use chairs for the most part. That's pretty much what they were going to stick to. They did brawl in the crowd at some point. They ended up on a production truck speaker towards the back, and Damian Priest I mean, picks up Bad Bunny and, you know, tosses him. He basically jumps off the stage and puts him through the table. And the crowd is going nuts. And, you know, earlier in the match, you know, Damian Priest had a little bit of blood in his mouth. And once he spotted the blood, pissed him the fuck off. I even think Michael Cole, was it Michael Cole? Corey Graves said yesterday, be very quiet. He's hunting rabbit. He's hunting rabbits. He's hunting bunnies. And I like Michael Cole's line. How many Grammy Award winners do you see Bad Bunny, you know, doing Canadian destroyers, doing Michinoku drivers, doing Falcon arrows, you know, doing these slams? He really, really put on a performance yesterday. A lot of Singapore cane shots. Loud Benito chants as well. His entrance. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. That was the only thing that I think people were a little bit exaggerated with. I saw a lot of people yesterday say, wow, Bad Bunny's entrance, top 10 of all time. I mean, the crowd singing was awesome. The song I'm getting into. The song sounds like a great wrestling song. Him coming out the way he did, you know, walking down the rampway, you were pumped. But, you know, it wasn't like this, you know, big WrestleMania entrance. I think people were just caught up in the moment yesterday. But Damian Priest with a broken arrow offed that speaker through tables. You see WWE officials come out to check on Bad Bunny. Some people think that the match might be over, that maybe Bad Bunny's legitimately injured. I think Daivari got in the face of Damian Priest, and Damian Priest's like, he's not done because I'm not done. Some part during in the match, Damian Priest goes to pin Bad Bunny and picks him up at the count of two. Old school right there. I'm not done with him yet. I'm going to toy with him a little bit more. But towards the latter part of the match, Damian Priest brings Bad Bunny back to ringside. Bad Bunny gets the upper hand, starts working on Damian Priest's ankle. Damian Priest, again, the little things that matter. Damian Priest selling the ankle injury, remember, didn't do it for 10 seconds and then forgets that his ankle is injured and starts running around normally. You know, the only other person recently that to me sells beautifully like that is CM Punk. I know there's others, but CM Punk, it always stood out to me that if somebody worked on a body part, he sells it. Cody Rhodes, also with his shoulder. When Cody Rhodes returned, even, you know, after when he was just selling the shoulder, when he came back, Cody, CM Punk, and Damian Priest, three people that I really take notice on how not only good they sell, but how they remember it. Because Damian Priest hopping on one leg repeatedly towards the latter part of that match. You know, at one point begging Bad Bunny, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. And Bad Bunny's looking at him and he falls for it. Damian Priest cheap shots him. But Bad Bunny, you know, gets the upper hand again, grabs a chain, wraps it around Damian Priest's ankle, whips it in the corner. Everything looks crisp. Everything looks good. Crowd is eating this shit up. And again, up until all of this, it's still one-on-one. That was the thing that just sold me. I mean, yes, street fights are easier for somebody who is not a regular wrestler to do, but this fit beautifully. Judgment Day comes out, and they're beating down Bad Bunny, and then you get Carlito's music. Crowd goes nuts. Biggest pop Carlito's probably ever gotten on American soil. Yes, I know we're in Puerto Rico, but I know we're playing semantics, American soil, Puerto Rico. My point is, outside of Puerto Rico, probably the biggest pop that Carlito's ever gotten. I don't remember ever a moment Carlito, but again, Carlito was a heel for most of his career, so why would we pop like that? So let's be honest. But Carlito comes out, looks just as good as he did 2 years ago, gets involved, grabs the apple, gets into it with Dom. Ray hits a 619 on Dom. Dom turns around, gets apple spit in his face. But that's not enough. Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio get out of Dodge and they go into the back, and the next thing you know, Savio Vega's music hits. The crowd is going nuts, and Savio Vega going old school TNT, chop, chop, chop. And people are fucking loving it. It kind of reminded me of Quang, if you remember Quang. But did that, and then next thing you know, that's when, like I said, I could have swore I heard Chance for Chavo. But LWO's music hits, they run down to the ring, and they start going at it. They take out Dominic. They take out Balor, so they retreat. They're out of there. Damian Priest goes to kick Bad Bunny, but his leg gives out. Again, Damian Priest still selling it beautifully. Bad Bunny puts a figure four on Damian Priest. Makes sense. Damian Priest's leg is weak, in pain. He goes for the figure four. Beautiful. Hits a sliced bread, Bad Bunny. And Bad Bunny, unfortunately, when he hit the sliced bread, he almost landed on his head. I don't know if you saw that. But then he lands 7 chair shots to Damian Priest and then a Canadian Destroyer. 1, 2, 3. And the crowd freaking loved it. Everything about it, WrestleMania quality, easy. Like I said, as a wrestling fan, could have closed out Backlash, no problems whatsoever, but you got to think of the bigger picture and the storylines that continue and Cody Rhodes and everything else. But this was tremendous yesterday. I don't think it could have been booked any better. And props to WWE for knowing their audience and bringing Carlito and Savio Vega out there. That was pretty fun, man. Enjoyed every minute of it. Thought it was great. This match, I'm not going to lie to you, disappointed me. The Usos and Solo Sikoa defeating Matt Riddle and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Obviously, the big storyline coming out of this is Solo Sikoa almost hitting Jey Uso with the Samoan Spike. We did have a little bit of, issues with the bloodline last night. Early on in the match, the crowd chanting, "We want Roman." Yeah, we should get Roman. We're getting Roman on Friday. But remember the conversation that we had last week. Roman Reigns is turning into the Brock Lesnar storyline. And I got news for you. Would not be surprised if down the line we find out that maybe Roman Reigns made a deal with the devil. Maybe Roman Reigns paid off Brock Lesnar to try to take out Cody Rhodes. Don't know. That might end up being a storyline later on. Because we still don't know why Brock Lesnar did what he did originally with Cody Rhodes. Now it's different. Because Cody beat him and rolled him up. So if I'm Brock Lesnar, I want to beat the fuck out of Cody even more. But last night, this felt like a typical Raw match. It felt like a SmackDown main event. I had a hard time getting into it. It was a lot of fun, don't get me wrong. Riddle with that moonsault to the outside, beautiful. Solo Sikoa, grabbing Matt Riddle's foot. Which I thought was a cute little thing. If people didn't see that, when Matt Riddle hit the moonsault to the outside, Solo Sikoa looked like he might have landed awkwardly. And Riddle checked on him. And Solo Sikoa squeezed Matt Riddle's foot to let him know that he was okay. I thought that was pretty cool last night. But again, as I said earlier, it was the finish that, it's overused, but to do it on his pay-per-view really, really pissed me off. Towards the end of the match, basically Jey Uso gets in the face of Sami Zayn, and we hear him clearly saying, you're breaking up my family. It's all your fault, Sami. Jey Uso wants to finish Sami Zayn off. Jey Uso goes to the other corner where Solo Sikoa is on the outside, and Jey does the Uso with the crowd, and before Jey could hit his move on Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa tags himself in. And Jay's like, "What the fuck you doing? The fuck you doing?" And Solo tags himself in. Before Solo could do anything, Jey Uso slaps Solo Sikoa, tags himself in. Now there's a little bit of an issue there, but Sami Zayn gets his, clears his head, nails Jay, hits a louver kick to Jey, almost pins him. Solo Sikoa forced to break it up. So now you got Sammy down, Jay down. Solo Sikoa just broke up the two count. Then he turns around and he looks at Jey Uso. And they're kind of exchanging some words. Solo looks angry at Jey Uso. And like I showed you earlier, at one point, Jey thought he was going to get the Samoan spike. Solo stopped. I think Solo probably thought it was going to be Sami Zayn that he was going to spike, but it was Jey. And Solo ends up hitting the spike on Kevin Owens a few moments later. Jey Uso grabs Solo. Solo teases him with the spike. Sami gets back up. And then we end up with Matt Riddle and Jey Uso in a ring together. And once again, blind tag. So Riddle doesn't see Solo Sikoa tag Jey Uso. Blind tag. We had three of them. And then Riddle hits the Bro Derek on Jey Uso, but Jey Uso's not the legal man. And here comes Solo Sikoa, Samoan Spike. 1, 2, 3. Matt Riddle pinned again. Again. Too much. Too much before he had to take time off. Too much once he returned. And too much of this same finish. When a babyface doesn't see the tag, hits the move anyway, ends up getting blindsided, match is over. So we go into Friday and we see what happens with Roman Reigns. At least if there's any consolation, at least now there is some closure with the bloodline Owens and Zayn, sort of. Because remember in the back of your mind, again, people online are treating the draft like it's gospel, that things cannot be diverted, otherwise the folks the sense of doing a draft. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are still champions for both brands. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn will be defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championship in the near future. I don't know if it'll be on a SmackDown. It might be at SummerSlam. It might be at a different premium live event. It's not going to be in Saudi Arabia, obviously, but they're going to defend those titles against the SmackDown team. People think that that's it. Sami and Kevin Owens no longer on SmackDown. No. They will be fighting on SmackDown again. Just once they lose those championships, then they will be strictly on Raw. That's the difference. So this match yesterday I thought was very underwhelming. And the main event, look, we talked about it earlier in detail. Cody Rhodes gets to continue the chase, gets to continue finishing the story, defeats Brock Lesnar. And early on in this match, before the bell even rings, three shots with the steel steps by Cody onto Brock, four chair shots to Brock before the bell even rings, so there's no disqualification. Finally, the bell rings. We have an official match. Cody with some punches. Brock tries to counter early, but Cody with more kicks and punches. Then Cody starts getting taken to Suplex City. The crowd gets into it. Crowd was into Brock Lesnar more than you would think. Because, again, people online, you get the usual suspects that'll complain about the use of Brock Lesnar. For those fans going in attendance, that's why fans, I think Corey Graves said it, that Brock Lesnar versus Omos at WrestleMania was not for those hardcore social media fans. This was a spectacle for, you know, the regular casual wrestling fan. Brock Lesnar is very, very, very much appreciated because the guy's a monster. The guy is a special attraction. The guy is a once-in-a-lifetime monster. I mean, the guy legitimately could still go, and he is scary as fuck. Not many people in wrestling that you look at and you're like, I ain't fucking crossing paths with that guy. I am not pissing off that guy. Like, if you remember Vader when he went to Pakistan and he got held because he went after the TV announcer, like, people would legitimately scared shit of Vader until they saw, I think it was Wrestling with Shadows, and, you know, you realize he's like a puppy. You know, like, Vader's very, very soft-spoken, God rest his soul. Brock Lesnar, though, you don't want to cross paths with that guy. But he hits a German suplex, make it twice. Crowd is chanting one more time, third time's a charm. Hits a pair of regular suplexes, another German suplex. We're up to four, the Cody Rhodes. Crowd is cheering for Brock at this point. And I purposely did not check social media because I expected the usual suspects. You see, Cody's not as over as you think he is. So, Brock Lesnar trying to destruct Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes at one point inadvertently grabs the turnbuckle. It pops off. And then later on, Brock Lesnar goes to charge the corner where Cody is. Cody gets out of the way. Brock's head legitimately hits the exposed turnbuckle area and gets cut hard way. If you pause it or if you put it in super, super slow-mo, Brock Lesnar did not bleed. The minute Brock hit that corner post, he got busted open. And whether that was done strategically on purpose or not, I don't know. All I know is if Brock Lesnar says, yeah, I'll bust myself open. I'm not going to blade. I'm going to legitimately hit that turnbuckle. I mean, let that sink in for a minute. That guy legitimately allows himself to get hit like that for the betterment of Cody Rhodes. That's pretty wild when you think about it. But Cody Rhodes starts getting the upper hand, and he's getting a little comeback, and you got that crowd. Let's go, Cody. Let's go, Cody. So Cody's winning them back. Cody sees Brock Lesnar bleeding. It's all over Cody's chest, and Cody is getting himself amped up. Hits a pair of crossroads on Brock Lesnar. Brock kicks out. Ref at this point now puts on the gloves. And, you know, in the latter part of the match, he finally wipes the blood off of Brock, but it wasn't done right away. Was not done right away. Cody goes for a third crossroads, but Brock turns it to an F5, and I think everybody held their breath. They thought Brock was winning it right then and there, but he only got a two count. So Brock Lesnar locks the Kimura lock on Cody, and as we said earlier, Cody, you know, writhing in pain, turns sideways, pins Brock Lesnar. Cody rolls out of the ring. Brock is surprised. I love this photo. Out of all the photos from yesterday, I love this one more than anything. Let me show you this one for everybody on video. Because you see Brock Lesnar, you know, just in disbelief on his knees in the ring. And Cody is on the rampway. And Brock is just looking at him like, motherfucker. You know, Cody escaped and got the win. Was not cowardly. You know, suspension of disbelief. Somebody's got a Kimura lock, let alone Brock Lesnar locked on you. You're going to do anything you possibly can to get out of it. So I thought that was a great fucking spot, great photo. And Cody Rhodes gets to continue the story. It was very, very good. I on a scale of 1 to 10, I give Backlash a 9. Actually, you know, I give it an 8.5. Because the six-man tag, because it was only, what, 7 matches? The six-man tag was very disappointing. To me, that's minus a point right then and there, especially that finish. No, you know what? I'll give it a 9. I'll give it a 9 because Omos pleasantly, I guess you could say, surprised me because, you know, I didn't think he would be this polished yet, but he was having a good time yesterday. Brock and Cody did enough. You know, Brock Lesnar doesn't have 20-minute matches. You know, I mean, unless you're turning rings upside down and you're brawling on tables and this and that, Brock Lesnar is a monster. You know, and Brock Lesnar is not meant to carry on for 15 minutes. So it did, to me, what it needed to do. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest, just awesome. Entertainment at its finest. Street fight, whatever. You know, some people don't like that. I enjoyed it tremendously. Bianca Belair and Io Sky was fucking great, man. I got news for you. And I'm sorry for saying this. Might upset some people, but I got to say it. Bianca Belair versus Io Sky yesterday was 10 times more enjoyable for me than Bianca Belair versus Asuka at WrestleMania. Io Sky might... I know this sounds odd, and it's not just because they're from Japan, but Io Sky could leapfrog Asuka in the popularity department. That Asuka, you know, maybe we start pulling back a little bit on Asuka because, you know, she's getting up there in age. She could still go 100%, but it might be, okay, let's now put the focus on Io Sky a little bit more. And Io Sky versus Asuka is a tag team that I want to see. If you're not going to reform the Kabuki Warriors, with Kairi Sane, then put Io Sky and Asuka together. It is easy. It makes sense. People would love it. And they would be really an unstoppable tag team. And you kind of ease up a little bit on Asuka and Io Sky having to have the focus all on themselves. So I'll give it an 8.5 to a 9. You know, I'll give it an 8.5 since Roman wasn't on it. And it could have, you know, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Definitely worth the watch. And there was enough that I would watch it again. So, all right, let's briefly run down the World Heavyweight Championship tournament. Because obviously 24 hours from now, things will change. We already will know who's going to go to Night of Champions representing Raw for this championship. In 5 days, we will know who from SmackDown will be facing the person on Raw. The 12 participants were announced today. I'm going to give you the 12 participants, and then I'm going to, for fun, predict right now what I think the matches will be on Raw, what the outcomes will be, and then tomorrow we'll probably do the same for SmackDown. So these are your 12 participants that are in this World Heavyweight Championship tournament. Not everybody's favorites can make this tournament. There is one person in here that I kind of got to be honest, even though I absolutely enjoy his work, I don't think he should have been in this tournament. I wonder if you all can figure out who that is. He's, you know, he's awesome, but, you know. Anyway, representing SmackDown, Sheamus. Hey, if you heard Saturday's episode of the Don Tony Show, every person we brought up, except for Roman Reigns, every person we brought up is in this tournament. Sheamus, Austin Theory, Rey Mysterio, AJ Styles, Edge, and Bobby Lashley. No complaints with any of them, although Austin Theory, maybe you could have waited for as far as Austin Theory goes. I know some people probably would have replaced Austin Theory with LA Knight or somebody else, but again, you know, LA Knight, not in the win department, don't have any momentum right now other than crowd popularity. So LA Knight, little too soon to push for a championship tournament. In my opinion right now, even though I haven't really thought about the SmackDown side yet, my early thought is AJ Styles. AJ Styles sold it for me on SmackDown. I brought it up on Saturday. And I don't want to piss off anybody in the podcasting or journalistic world, but AJ Styles pretty much said one sentence that should have shut up everybody that's complaining, like, oh, why are SmackDown people fighting for this championship? AJ Styles on commentary on SmackDown when the OC beat the Viking Raiders, he said, why wouldn't anybody in the WWE want this chance? This is championship gold. This is a prize. Why wouldn't you want to go for it? Makes total sense. Makes total sense. Why wouldn't somebody on SmackDown not want to go for this championship? AJ Styles sold it for me. If you, the two representatives that could be fighting at Night of Champions make the most sense because they made the most sense. AJ Styles is like, all right, I'm on SmackDown, the house that AJ Styles built. Why wouldn't I want to fight for this championship? It's a prize. It's a heavyweight gold. Why wouldn't I want to fight for it? Could you imagine if you use social media logic that AJ Styles is on commentary, AJ, would you want to fight for it? No, I'm SmackDown. I'm the house that AJ Styles built. That's a Raw title. I don't want that. Just give me Romans or nothing. You know, it kind of sounds like a little bit cheesy when you think about it. And I listen, people are bringing up other podcasters. I have not heard any other podcasters' thoughts on the draft other than Kevin Castle and mine. I have read people online and what they've written. I have not heard anybody's shows. So everybody thinks that I'm taking shots of any other shows. It's just people trying to maybe provoke a little bit of trouble. I'm not saying that people live right now are doing that with me. I'm just saying that there's people online that, you know, like when I give a viewpoint, I fucking hate it when I do a viewpoint poll. Somebody will say, well, so-and-so thinks the opposite. And I'm like, well, did you tell so-and-so that I feel the opposite? No. Well, then why are you telling me? So I can't express my opinion. I give my opinions whether you want people want them or not. And I don't change my opinion just because it's popular or coincides with everybody else. So that is your SmackDown side. We'll talk a little bit more about the SmackDown side on Monday. But on the Raw side, we have Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Shinsuke Nakamura, The Miz, and Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a fascinating choice because if Cody Rhodes cuts a promo on Raw, Cody Rhodes has to bring up that regardless of what happens with this championship, he wants Roman Reigns. You cannot divert from that. Cody Rhodes will still go after Roman Reigns. Do not be fooled. Cody Rhodes, listen, why would Cody Rhodes not want every championship there is in WWE? You get an opportunity for a championship, you take it. But for Cody Rhodes, the prime target is Roman Reigns. So Cody Rhodes, everyone out there, expect a promo from Cody on Raw that will clear up that he's been announced for this tournament, but it's clear he, with regard, whatever happens in this tournament, it does not change the fact that, Roman, I'm coming for you. Roman, I'm coming for you. You could put any obstacle you want in front of me. You could do this, you could that. Roman, I'm coming for you. That's got to be made clear on Raw. So, I like The Miz. I have not wavered. I've appreciated him for years. But I don't think he should have been in this tournament. Shinsuke Nakamura, I'm fine with because Shinsuke can still go. And it's like a, you got to have, not a sleeper, but you got to have like a, you know, like a long shot. You know, you got to have somebody that people root for that, you know, I mean, and the only reason I saw somebody wrote this earlier and I don't mind that you said this, you know, if you're going to put Shinsuke, why wouldn't you put LA Knight? Shinsuke has a history in the WWE of winning. Shinsuke has held gold. So Shinsuke has an established WWE career for a very long time that I don't have any issue with him getting the shot. Now, this is just for fun. If the matches don't end up this way, you know, don't take it out on me. This is just for fun. But when I look at those six guys on Raw, this is how yours truly would do this tournament on Raw Monday, May 8th. There's going to be two triple threat matches. That we know. And the winner of each triple threat will face each other as the main event on Monday, May 8th, Raw. And whoever wins that main event will go on to Night of Champions for that championship. The three-way matches that I would put for Monday, match one would be Seth Rollins versus The Miz versus Damian Priest. And I would have Seth Rollins go out on top on that match. So Seth Rollins goes on to main event Raw. And I will give you the outcome of that match in a moment. That means the other match would be Cody Rhodes versus Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke and Finn Balor, you know, are going to put on a great fucking performance. Cody and Finn Balor, you know, are going to put on a great fucking performance. Cody and Shinsuke would be pretty interesting to see. I think that match, if they put those three guys, because they have not announced the three ways, that's the match that I would want to see on Raw. But I believe Cody Rhodes wins this match. And we get, for the main event on Raw, a rematch. Yes, match that some people don't want to see happen again, but we get the rematch. Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. This time, Seth Rollins finally gets his win on Cody Rhodes, but I think Brock Lesnar needs to interfere. Somebody needs to interfere, cause Cody Rhodes the win. You can choose Solo Sikoa if you want. You could choose Brock Lesnar if you want. I personally think it should be Brock Lesnar, and I'll tell you why. A lot of people think Solo Sikoa, but I'll tell you why I think it should be Brock Lesnar. They're going to Saudi Arabia in 3 weeks. Brock Lesnar is at the top of Saudi Arabia's want list when it comes to WWE. Undertaker is at the top of that list too, but the Undertaker doesn't wrestle anymore. So the Undertaker makes appearances. But Brock Lesnar, oh, you must be Brock. Brock Lesnar must appear. So Saudi Arabia wants Brock at Night of Champions. This is not zero news. This is not, you know, me reporting exclusives. This is just common sense. Saudi Arabia wants Brock. Who is Brock going to face? Brock Lesnar, if he interferes, causes Cody to win on Raw. That makes sense to have a rematch at Night of Champions. There's only one problem with this. There's only one problem with this. The event is called Night of Champions. Cody's not a champion right now. Brock Lesnar's not a champion right now. How do you explain Cody versus Brock at an event that you're kind of insinuating that everybody fighting are champions? I wonder if they do a street fight, an unsanctioned match, that it's unsanctioned. That's why it's taking place at Night of Champions. Even though it's not a championship match, it's an unsanctioned match. That's the only reason why I'm a little bit torn with this. But again, Solo Sikoa is not a champion right now. So if you're going to have Cody Rhodes, unless Cody Rhodes is not going to Night of Champions, that's a possibility. Let that stay in the back of your mind. Cody Rhodes might not have a match at Night of Champions, but everybody believes that Brock Lesnar will be there. So if Brock Lesnar is going to have a match, it's got to be against Cody. That's the only person that makes sense 3 weeks away. Remember, we're only 3 weeks away. So the road to Saudi Arabia begins on Raw. For the next 3 weeks, a lot of what you see on TV is going to have to do with Saudi Arabia. Nobody's thinking about that. So ramifications from Raw is going to lead into Saudi Arabia. So Seth Rollins will defeat Cody. Somebody's going to cause Cody's defeat. That will lead to Saudi Arabia, in my opinion. So we will see what happens. We will see what happens. But those are my lighthearted predictions for Raw this Monday. You know, a photo that I forgot to show you earlier. It's definitely worth pulling up. Oh, my God, we've never seen a bikini before. You know, everybody was making a big deal. Although, you know, I can't complain, but Wade Barrett having the time of his life yesterday, doing a little bit of commentary. You know, that's not like TV 14, everyone. It's just a bikini. It's just a bikini. So I forgot to show that picture earlier. So, all right. So let's see what happens on Raw. So we're at an hour and 40 minutes. So what I will do for the final 20 minutes, we'll keep this to 2 hours since we had some extended talk about Backlash and just about the overall scope of WWE. I will stay here for the next 20 minutes answering your questions. If you have a question in the chat, just write in capital letters the word question. That's what we normally do on Sundays with the sit down. If you have a question, write it. Question so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment you just want me to share with everyone, write comment and then whatever you have to say. If anybody sends a super chat, you know, they're never required, but they are appreciated and they definitely help with the shows. You know, we don't do this for free, you know, obviously. And we have to make adjustments accordingly for the what's best for business, obviously. But so let's see what's on your mind. So I can't do it in Spanish, everyone, like Cody, but what do you want to talk about? Could be anything, obviously. So let's see. Let's see. Again, shout out to everybody who sent comments in earlier and super chats. Maggie is asking, what do I think Roman's going to do this Friday? Oh, it's got to be a confrontation with the Bloodline. It's got to be an evaluation. It's got to be the Usos and addressing the Usos and Solo Sikoa. And, you know, is there going to be a breakup this soon? I wouldn't say that. But, you know, the match that we talked about on Saturday that could be down the pipe is Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos. I don't think that'll happen yet because understand something. The storyline, even if you look at Backlash yesterday, Jey Uso was saying to Sami Zayn, you're trying to destroy my family. You're trying to break up my family. You're trying to break us up. The Usos and Solo won yesterday. Even though Solo got the win, they still won. So the Usos could come out on SmackDown Friday and say that we won. We took care of, we solved the riddle. I could picture them all right. We solved the riddle. We fixed that Sammy problem and Kevin Owens problem, but they still don't have gold. And that's the problem at the end of the day. And Solo and Jay having some issues, that could tease something. Somebody's going to have to come out and be an antagonist and fuck with them a little bit. But I think it's way too soon to have them split up. Way too soon. Way too soon. Back in the day, who was a better wrestler, Ricky Steamboat or Shawn Michaels? Better wrestler, Ricky Steamboat. Better entertainer, Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels, just his character was on a different level. The way he talked. I mean, Ricky was good also. I mean, on the mic, very acceptable. Babyface. Everybody loved him. I love Ricky Steamboat back in the day. Shit, I even liked when he teamed up with Jay Youngblood. But to me, Shawn Michaels was on a different level. Larry of Regork, what's my opinion on different strap colors? He remembers his friend, and he thought it was cool when they were kids seeing the strap change colors with the IC title. I don't mind it. Because you look at the different color of the titles. I think the only reason why we don't see it as much these days is because now these titles represent eras, the colors. You know, when you think back, to the wing title, or you think back, I'm talking about heavyweight titles now, you think of the big gold with WCW. But if you look at WWF, when Austin had the belt, or later on when Cena had the spinner belt, or, you know, this title became this, or even the Intercontinental Championship when they changed the design, and who was it? It wasn't Cody. Who was the person who won the Intercontinental Championship and brought back the old look? The old look because, you know, it was tradition. I don't know why Cody's mind, his name is coming to mind, but somebody, it was Cody. Thank you, Rams fan. I remember that. You know, it's, to me, these days, changing the belts are more representing of eras. I think even now, the World Heavyweight Championship, they could have brought back a look from yesteryear, but they're creating a new championship for a new era. So changing the colors, it's easier, it's cheaper, you can intertwine, you know, there's a lot of reasons why they do what they do. Even the briefcases, the Money in the Bank briefcases, like I have 5 briefcases that I never gave away. And even on the women's side, like they change the colors to represent different things. But, it's just more, I think, representing eras. Roderick is asking, with the increased hiatus and age, could I see Charlotte becoming more of a part-timer? Yeah, absolutely. Charlotte could still go. Charlotte just can't do it every single week or every other week anymore. If she's going to still wrestle for another 5 years, they have to pull back on Charlotte Flair. And that's fine. Charlotte Flair, listen, her match with Rhea Ripley is arguably the greatest women's match in WWE's modern era. I know everybody was losing their shit yesterday with Io Sky and Bianca, but it's nowhere near Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. And it's all about perception and opinion at the end of the day. So I really don't have a problem, you know, who people choose. But Charlotte Flair is still at the top of her game. You have to start pulling back and preserving that. And that's one thing you got to admit WWE does very well. WWE does realize when certain wrestlers need to be pulled back a little bit. And the wrestlers are smart enough to realize it as well. But that's why you see, you know, some wrestlers who are getting up there in age that are still at the top of their game. Yeah, unfortunately, some injuries get way too serious, like Randy Orton's, which we hope he'll be back soon anyway. But WWE does have a good track record at helping prolong wrestlers' careers. It's a part of wellness. And I'm not going to go there and compare it to AEW, But you do see some people in AEW say to yourself 5 years from now, is that person going to still be wrestling? You know, and it's unfortunate, but at some point, wellness has to kick in. Mark Hicks, my favorite ECW pay-per-view of all time. Either Barely Legal, 1997, or Heatwave 98. Those are my two favorites. Barely Legal because it was the first pay-per-view. That pay-per-view is why I started my wrestling hotline back in 1997. Never looked back. Heatwave 98 is probably the one that I could watch from beginning to end without stopping, without even going to the bathroom. Rams fan is asking, do I think the LWO last and still have Ray with them 6 months from now, or was just created to build up WrestleMania Backlash? No, Ray will still be part of it. In fact, I don't know if Ray got the tattoo over the weekend, but I know that several members of the LWO got tattoos on their hands, matching tattoos, which is really, really cool. You know, understand, LWO is not just a faction brought back. It's also a culture. So believe me when I tell you, when even though the LWO, you look at the statistics, has been very disappointing, it's more about familia and culture. Them getting the tattoos is a bond that they will have for the rest of their life. Or unless they get tattooed over them. But it's more than just a faction. Ray will still be a part with them. But, you know, you will also got to realize that Ray's career is starting to wind down as well. And you got to be a little bit careful with Ray. And Ray definitely, a lot of people didn't know about tattoos. Yeah, go on social media. Maybe I'll show him tomorrow. Yeah, I'll remind myself. I'll show everybody tomorrow the tattoos. I got a whole bunch of pictures from it. So, Rocky Red with a comment. I missed a golden opportunity in promoting and hyping up Backlash by mimicking Carlito's brother and cousin Primo and Epico saying, oh, yeah, come to Puerto Rico. I think, honestly, unfortunately, a majority of wrestling fans today probably forgot about that. I do remember those skits when they were like travel agents. Come to Puerto Rico. They, you know, it kind of would have killed the surprise of Carlito, to be honest with you. But, yeah, it would have been fun. I mean, they could have done it as a vignette online, but majority of wrestling fans forgot. And honestly, I don't know how many tourists were in attendance yesterday, you know, but it seemed like it was mostly a local crowd. But still, the Shining Stars. Yes, I remember that. The Shining Stars, Primo and Epico. Did they leave on bad terms, though? I don't remember. I don't know why it kind of like comes to mind, so... JS is asking, do I think Lashley is Roman's next feud? It's possible. I'd like to see maybe Sheamus get an opportunity. You know, I could honestly see the Brawling Brutes maybe getting into it with the Usos a little bit. Maybe Sheamus. I know they've kind of teased that before, but there's no titles on the line as far as the Usos now. So this could be a little bit different. But I don't have any issue with Bobby Lashley. I almost feel now because of yesterday, there's unfinished business. That's one of the reasons why we thought that Austin Theory would win the way he wins. I think right now, you know, somebody's going to have to be an antagonist to the Bloodline. Who is it? I don't see Bobby Lashley coming out there and mocking the Bloodline. I think he's by himself. At least Sheamus has, you know, the Brawling Brutes with him. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But Lashley, I'm not that sure. Who would I like to see Riddle feud with now since the Bloodline feud? Well, I haven't even thought about it yet. Man, we just finished Backlash, the draft. I mean, I got to look really at that roster and think about it. I mean, Riddle's got to break away from Owens and Zayn, I would think. But my... You know what keeps coming to mind for me? I wonder if the chat room could think about it. Gunther. I could see the Imperium. And I talked about this on Saturday. I could see Imperium challenging Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the tag titles. And Gunther and Riddle going at it. The problem is that Riddle has lost a few too many matches for me. But I think him versus Gunther might be a lot more physical than we think. So if you want me to give you a spur in a moment answer, I say Gunther. I think that would fucking be pretty hot, man. Gunther versus Riddle. I think that would be better than people think. And my God, could you imagine if Riddle pulled the upset on Gunther? I don't see it. Riddle versus Gunther might end up being in Saudi Arabia. That might be the Saudi Arabia match. Because it is Night of Champions. Gunther, I think, is representing. So Riddle versus Gunther. And think about Saudi Arabia. Little more babyface heel. So I could picture Riddle over with that Saudi crowd. Gunther will get his love, too. But that is traditional villain versus babyface. So I'll go Gunther. I'll give you Gunther for that. Drew McIntyre, look, there's a lot of speculation, everyone. There's been some disappointment for Drew McIntyre over the last couple of years, and I truly believe Clash at the Castle is part of it. But WWE, you know, yes, it was in the COVID era, and you remember years ago I said Drew will always be remembered as the COVID champion. I think I coined that phrase. But I think Drew, over the last couple of years, his stock has gone up. If Drew main event at Clash at the Castle, and yes, it was in the UK, and yes, it was hometown, and Clash at the Castle to Drew is what, you know, Bad Bunny was to Puerto Rico yesterday. But overall, I think Drew has had a decent couple of years in WWE. At the end of the day, his contract isn't up until next year. Drew's a very professional person. Drew's not going to sit out the last 9 months for what? Because Roman's the champion and he's not? Because he was promised? I mean, he's getting paid very comfortably. Drew is not a whiny bitch. And I don't think it's as deep as people are portraying it. I think we will see Drew McIntyre on TV soon. I don't know when. He might turn heel. A lot of people think that. But I think Drew McIntyre will be back. I'd be very surprised if he's not back on TV within the next month. I think Drew McIntyre. And listen, something else people got to think about that nobody talks about. Drew McIntyre had some injuries. Drew McIntyre had a substantial back injury. He was pulled from that autograph signing in a house show because of a back injury. He didn't just take a pair of Tylenols and the pain went away. He is recuperating from injuries as well. That's a very important fact that everybody, for the most part, seems to forget when they talk about Drew McIntyre. So, why didn't Gunther make it in this tournament? Because Gunther is a champion. Gunther will be fighting at Night of Champions. Yes, Austin Theory will probably be fighting at Night of Champions too. Not everybody could make the list. Not everybody could make the list. And honestly, I don't think WWE wants Gunther in the losing department at all right now. I don't think they even want Gunther in a three-way where he loses. So that's probably the reason why. All right, we got 5 minutes left. We are flying through the questions, and I appreciate it. A lot of fun, a lot of fun. Great questions. Brian is asking, do I think WCW missed out on a Bill Goldberg Ultimate Warrior match past the torch in 98? No, no. Ultimate Warrior was not in WCW enough to be passing the torch in WCW. Warrior at that time was still considered weird by a lot of people that worked within pro wrestling from WWF to WCW. Was not on the best of graces with Bischoff. Was there, a lot of people feel, in hindsight, for Hogan to get his wins back. Ultimate Warrior was not a mainstay there enough where he could pass the torch. And I don't think anybody in their mother would have thought that Goldberg, the torch was being passed to Goldberg, because Goldberg's matches, for the most part, were very, very quick. Goldberg and Ultimate Warrior, how long would they go? 3 minutes? That's not necessarily passing the torch. I don't think the Ultimate Warrior ever was a person that should pass the torch. Listen, I've been a lifelong Ultimate Warrior fan. I didn't like his comments that he used to say, you know, at the speakings, but I was always an Ultimate Warrior fan, never wavered, and I don't think Ultimate Warrior was ever in a situation he should pass the torch. No word on Barry Windham's recovery, Kevin, but that is something that I'm a little surprised people are not talking more of. The interesting thing is that Barry Windham, I think, the other day was commenting about something online as far as wrestling, and people were just like liking it and retweeting it, and I was surprised how many people like, how you feeling? So I don't know if it was actually Barry Windham or not. I'll be honest with you. I haven't had the time to check, but there's been no updates. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe no update is a good update. So, why are the SmackDown wrestlers involved in any way with the heavyweight title tournament? That is way too long for me to answer on the show. We talked about it on Saturday in great detail. We talked about it last Monday in great detail. If I give you a 30-second answer, it's what I said earlier. Seth Rollins sold it why it's not the pity championship. Seth Rollins wins it. He is going to show that he represents the championship better than Roman Reigns does. They're planting the seeds that Roman Reigns is turning into a old-school Brock Lesnar. Seth Rollins will represent the championship. People will feel that Seth is a real-world champion. As far as AJ Styles, what he said on SmackDown, why wouldn't somebody on SmackDown want this championship? It's gold. It's a heavyweight title. Why wouldn't you want to go for it? And the reason why SmackDown's in this is because WWE owns everything. Raw and SmackDown are run by one company. And people, you know, it's funny how people will say, I'm not saying you, but it's funny how people say, oh, the draft is meaningless. The draft is bullshit. The draft sucks. Oh, the draft on Raw sucked. SmackDown sucked. No wonder why the ratings sucked. And they downplay the draft like it was meaningless, makes no sense. And then the first time they make a tournament, that we're getting some great fucking matches out of it. We would not be getting Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles at Night of Champions if SmackDown was not involved in it. So how's about people eat a Snickers, not take it so seriously. This is entertainment. Matches will be given to us sometimes that technically should not because of the draft. So what? That's how I look at it. A lot of people need to eat some Snickers bars online. The World Heavyweight Championship is not Cody's to win, in my opinion. So, all right, one last question. We are out of here. Two questions. I'll answer this one because I've, again, brought this up a few times. If a SmackDown wrestler won, then they would be moved to Raw. Would WWE take a Raw star and move them to SmackDown? Maybe. And I know everybody thinks Cody, but Seth Rollins is the odds-on favorite of winning this. SmackDown wrestler, I don't believe, is winning this. AJ Styles is not winning it. Edge is not winning it. Austin Theory is not winning it. Rey Mysterio is not winning it. Sheamus is not winning it. Edge is not winning it. Bobby Lashley is not winning it. AJ Styles might be the only person, but you don't do the house that AJ Styles built. Oh, I'm back on Raw. So do not worry. This will be won by a Raw wrestler. All right, one last question. Shout out to Cerebral. Thank you for the kind words, Cerebral. Kevin was at Hardcore Heaven 2000. Loved it. Yeah, it was fun. But Heatwave 98 will always be one that I absolutely loved. All right, one last question. Let's make it good. Now let's get out of here. Rapido. I want to finish in 2 hours. Favorite Carlito moment? This is not a cop-out, but yesterday. Crowd, it's like Dolph Ziggler cashing in the briefcase. That pop that Dolph Ziggler got was amazing. It's my favorite Dolph Ziggler moment of all time, even though he's been a heel most of his career. Carlito, it's funny that Dolph and Carlito, my favorite moments when they were baby faces, and they're not known for being baby faces. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I hope everybody enjoyed this loaded episode. We talked Backlash. We talked World Heavyweight Championship Tournament. We did a little sit-down and some Q&A. So I will be here Monday with your next episode. We'll recap Raw. We'll recap what went down in the tournament. Monday show will be a little bit shorter, I think, under the circumstances that we did a very long show yesterday. We did a nice one today. Don't forget, Wednesdays is audio only. So if you want to be part of the live stream, I will do it live this Wednesday. It will be in the Discord channel. If you go to the community section on YouTube, there is a link there that you could sign up for the Discord if you want to be part of the live stream. Otherwise, you could download the episode on DonTony.com. That is the format for this Wednesday's episode. And remember, we're going to have an interesting discussion Wednesday regarding Wembley and All In and how that has become the scapegoat of any criticism towards AEW. We'll have an interesting conversation Wednesday about it. Probably something that I think, you know, people with half a brain would understand and, you know, accept. And I think some people that you just, you know, it's got to be epic, amazing, unbelievable, cake and ice cream. I'm shaking, the hairs on my arm are lifted. If it's not part of that, they will never understand it. So we'll talk about a few other things. We got to remember NXT is happening Tuesday as well. And we got Battleground coming up. So that's going to be a fun show. And that goes head to head with Double or Nothing, which is going to be interesting. So everyone, it's been real. I am out of here. If you enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that would like the channel, let them know about it. And yeah, much appreciated as always. Great questions tonight. Great discussion. And once again, Backlash was a fucking hell of a lot of fun, man. I mean, there was so much about Backlash. You know, they didn't rewrite the wheel yesterday. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest was an attraction. And, you know, we move on from there. But still, it was enough that 3 hours, a lot of fun, a lot of emotional moments. Didn't have to think too deep with things. Overall, a fun event to watch. So I'm out of here, everyone. Much love. Catch you all again soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.